T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. I want to ask you a question. Do you have any empathy for Vontaze Burfict? You feel bad for him at all? Because there's a part of me that does. There's a part of me that doesn't. You know, this dude has a history, and he's done some things that would show he doesn't care about the livelihood or well-being of others. The kind of hits that he's delivered, when he's delivered them, the viciousness of those hits. So I'm not even here to say that I necessarily fundamentally disagree with the punishment, which was to suspend him for the entire season. I think that's a defensible thing. I think a banishment is a defensible thing. I also think believing this particular suspension was out of proportion to the incident is a reasonable position as well. But I don't really want to talk simply about the suspension. I want to talk more about the mind state, the what leads to this. Because here's why I feel for Vontaze Burfict in a sense. Again, I don't feel for him in a, because there's a part of me that goes, dude, you know, these are your coworkers, your fellow human beings, and you don't seem to care when you're delivering some of these hits for their livelihood. But the part of me that feels for him says he's been rewarded for this mentality, this playing style, for most of his life. You know, I guarantee you, behind closed doors, there's a lot of football coaches and players who want a Vontaze Burfict in their locker room on their team, because football's a brutal game. And, you know, I've been thinking more and more that the reaction to some of these hits from the fans is kind of a guilty conscience thing, where we all know what we're watching and what it can do to people. And when we see a hit in isolation, we take our guilty conscience and project it onto the people involved in the hit. Like the Barnett hit on, was it Thursday night, a couple weeks back, the Eagles game. You know, we have the benefit of instant replay. We have the benefit of seeing stuff frame by frame. Moves a lot slower that way. When you're in real time, a football game does not move slow. That is fast. Bang, bang. And you have to remember what people are doing out there, what they're trying to do. You know how hard it is to take one of the biggest, strongest people on the planet to the ground? You know how hard it is in a split second to do the calculus in your head from going, I'm going to take this guy down, to, oh, wait, he's already tied up, I have to avoid making contact with him? Like, the expectations we're placing on people in a split second are not realistic. The target is moving. You are moving. The target is fast, big, strong. I mean, to expect guys to make adjustments on the fly like that is just absurd. Now, sometimes there are dirty hits, of course. But sometimes it's just bang, bang. And then we go back and we look at the replay and we say, oh, you should have moved your head, or you should have pulled up and, you know, avoided that altogether. I mean, Bill Belichick himself talked about the hit on Josh Allen last week and said that that's how he coached. You know, that hit was a controversy. He said that's the greatest coach of all time is saying that's how we coach. Because how do you, you know, when you miss a tackle, you get criticized, right? You miss a tackle, there's a big criticism. So I get it. In order to secure a tackle, you know, you got to go in fast and strong and violent. I mean, I even appreciate, you know, what these guys are doing is not a normal activity. Sometimes when you're doing a talk show like this, you'll get a caller call and go, well, they're getting paid money to play a child's game. Football ain't no game. I mean, it's a game by definition, but it ain't no game as far as fun and games go. It's not basketball or baseball or soccer or any other, you know, great sport, you know. Basketball's a contact sport. Soccer is a contact sport. Football's a collision sport. So, you know, just the mentality it takes to even be out there and play a professional football game. My hat goes off to somebody who can get themselves that, because that's not a normal activity. That's like a crazy activity, just in and of itself. And then, you know, like there's the culture around it and the way it's been instructed. The defensive coordinator of the Jets, the current defensive coordinator of the Jets, was offering money to players to hurt other players if they could take guys out. Now, I know he would tell you, Greg Williams would tell you, that that wasn't the intent to hurt people, but that's, I mean, how else do you read Bountygate? You take him out of the game, you're rewarded monetarily. You know, and that's a Saints team that was quite good. It's been quite good. Sean Payton, during his era, they've been quite good. And inside the locker room, it was like, yeah, so here's your cash reward for taking your opponent off the field. Not tackling him, taking him out. That was a thing. And he's still the defensive coordinator of the Jets. He's still in the NFL. So you can't tell me that, you know, that's not something that is germane to the sport. So the reason a part of me feels for Vontaze Burfict is he's grown up in that. He's been rewarded for taking guys down, taking them out. He's been encouraged. And I promise you again, you get them off the record. A lot of football coaches say, yeah, they want a guy like that in their locker room. Sends a message to the other team. You know you can't mess with us. He's gonna lay you out. Now, it's hilarious. The Raiders had Antonio Brown and Burfict and Richie Incognito all in the same locker room. Now that is wild. I mean, look at Richie Incognito, by the way, another example. I mean, Richie Incognito, if I'm going to say about Antonio Brown that he needs help, I got to say the same thing about Richie Incognito. That dude's done some disturbing stuff. There's probably not the same level of outcry because there's not the same level of fame. We don't talk about offensive linemen the way we talk about skill position players. They're not on our fantasy teams. But he keeps finding jobs. That mentality is rewarded. Bill Belichick said he coached the hit on Josh Allen. That's how he coaches it. So, and I think you've seen, you know, John Gruden said he was upset about Burfict. Derek Carr said, you know, Burfict was heartbroken. And I bet you to a man, that's the sentiment around the NFL. Because while we all want greater player safety, I think we all have to understand that there's no magic pixie dust that can achieve that. I mean, the NFL has to want it, or at least work under the guise that it wants it. And that's why you see the suspension to Burfict, because they're saying this is unacceptable. And that's not wrong. You know, he has a pattern of behavior or a pattern of hits that are unacceptable. But there's a lot of hits in between those hits. And there's not as much time as you think between what makes that hit dirty and what would make it good, clean, and celebrated. You're talking a split second in most of these cases. A beat. That's the difference between it being dirty and malicious and violent outside of the scope of the sport and it being good, clean, and celebrated. So, in that sense, I do feel a little bad for Vontaze Burfict. Look, just because something was done a certain way and that sort of thing was rewarded for a long time doesn't mean it should continue. And I don't think it should continue. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying this is a guy who was, I bet you, largely rewarded for the way he plays. And when that's the reinforcement you're getting, of course, that's the way you're going to continue to play. And I also think we way too often gloss over just how hard it is to expect these guys to be able to make these decisions about where they're laying the hit, how they're laying the hit, what part of their body they're leading with in the moment when they're trying to bring down a 200-something pound man running a 4.340. And we have replay. They don't get to check the replay inside their brain while they're making that athletic decision, that split second decision. So I don't think it's as cut and dry as, oh, this guy is needs to be out of here. It's certainly a reasonable suspension, I think, given his history. It's a reasonable decision. But I do have an appreciation for what it takes to go out there on a football field. And it ain't normal. And when that's the case, you're going to see some things that aren't normal. And Vontaze Burfict may be an extreme example even for the NFL standards, but it's also an example, I think, that has been, for the most part, celebrated within NFL circles. Do you feel bad at all for Vontaze Burfict? 855-212-4227, suspended for the year. He will be appealing it. I think that's going to be heard next week on Tuesday. What do you think? Justified? Not justified? Do you feel for him at all? 855-212-4227. It is the Robin Lundberg Show, and it is here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Asking if you feel bad for Vontaze Burfict in any way. Part of me doesn't, but there is a part of me that does, because I think the way he's played has been rewarded for much of his life. And I think the difference between a clean hit and a dirty hit is much smaller than people realize when we have the benefit of replay versus the guys who are out there trying to bring down the strongest and fastest people on the planet. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, there's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Let's go to Floyd in Tennessee. Floyd, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good morning, Robin.
What's up, Floyd?
I mean, I grew up in the day. I'm 58 years old, and I grew up in the day of the Purple People Eater, which is Steel Curtain, Doomsday Defense, Mike Curtis blowing up, people coming across, fans coming out and running on the field. And I like defense, and I like running the ball. But you mentioned, these guys hitting a 220-pound guy running 4.3. Doyle was on one knee, and Burfict blows him up. I mean, I don't have a problem with good, hard played defense. I coach my boys with football, and that's what I taught them. See what you're hitting. And just don't go – sometimes on some of his hits, and it looks like he just goes to maim some people.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I mean, like, look, I also said – that I completely understand the punishment, and I wouldn't even be like against banishment, but I'm trying to unpack the, you know, where the line of intent is. And again, the defensive coordinator, I mean, I think people, because we play fantasy football and we treat it like a game and it's entertainment for us, we forget what's actually happening out there sometimes. And the defensive coordinator for the New York Jets offered money to people to hurt others. Like, that happened. And he's still in the league as a coach in a leadership position. I mean, let's be real about it. 855-212-4227. Daniel in Charleston, South Carolina. Daniel, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Robin, thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
So I think that we are where Roger Goodell realizes that he's likely not going to change. And they're ready to have him out of the league. And he feels, I think Goodell feels like, I need to give him a final warning. My mom used to give me those all the time when I was growing up. Daniel, this is your final warning. And he's saying, okay, we're going to give you a year. I honestly think the year is going to get reduced to 8 games, or maybe 10 games, and they will let him come back at the end of the season. But this is their way of saying, we're not going to let this go on forever. We need to see an end to this, and if you can't, then you're gone. And the other thing, and I totally get what you're saying with he's been trained and rewarded for this type of behavior most of his life, but let's not forget he was not trained to kick somebody in between the legs. He was not trained to stomp on somebody's head. He was not trained to do all of these other things that go above and beyond
sure. The
vicious hits on the field, and nobody else, not even Ndamukong Suh, has a laundry list of infractions like Vontaze Burfict. He is the only guy.
Well, no, and Daniel, that's why I say that I'm not against the suspension or wouldn't even be against banishment. But I also think, you know, there is less of a line than people realize between some of the stuff you're describing and the mental state some guys must be in to participate in football. Now, I've talked to a lot of NFL players in my day, and plenty of them are amongst the most reasonable, cool guys you'll talk to, and I guess they're just able to treat it a certain way, go out there, do their job. But I also think, you know, there is a mind state some other guys have to enter to simply be out on the field, and that switch on and off is harder to click than we would imagine, because none of us would ever dream or dare to step foot out on an NFL playing field.
Yeah, no, and I do, I get your point there. And, you know, it is a snap, you know, a split-second decision. I mean, I played football at a pretty high school level.
Yeah.
Was as far as I was able to make it. And, you know, I can tell you for certain that sometimes you go for that hit and you don't know if you're going to hit him in the head or not. You're just trying to get the guy down. But the only thing that just really raises a flag is, if it was just the sport, if it was just the position, we would have more guys that had a similar list of infractions. But he is the outlier, and I think at some point you got to say, you're either in or out of the league, and it's got to be his decision.
Yeah,
and I think that's where we are right now, is this is the shot across the bow. This is your last chance. We're going to give you a chance to stay in the league, and if not, you're gone.
No, I agree with that wholeheartedly. But what I also meant was, like, just like, and I appreciate anybody who's played at the high school level or whatever, but that's not the same as the NFL level. And, you know, I don't know how guys do it. I really don't. I really don't know how guys are able to get themselves in, you know, in that mind state to go out there and participate in that activity. Because that is not a normal activity. It's not what human beings are designed to do. And I say, as a fan, you know, this topic comes up a lot on this show, but I've been a fan my whole life. But, you know, I do have more of a guilty conscience now than I did when I was a kid. That's for sure. Joseph in Ohio. Joseph, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Joseph?
Hey, man. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday to you, dude.
Hey, I just first off want to say go Stros, because they look really good right now. I'm a little concerned about some of the bullpen, but that's okay. Man, you know, when I watched that Raiders game, you know, after the ejection, he was running off the field, like, laughing and smiling. And just from that behavior right there, I think that the decision was easier to be made. You know, there was no remorse or, you know, there was no emotion for that he may have done damage or hurt somebody. And you know, just I think the way that it was handled, you know, with a year suspension was probably likely, but more so because of his reaction in response to the incident.
Yeah, look, again, there's good reason for it. I'm not saying there isn't. Vontaze Burfict is a habitual line stepper. I'm just saying I think the line is thinner than people realize. The line between a clean hit and a dirty hit a lot thinner than people realize. The line between the proper mentality in how to have yourself ready to play football versus an improper mentality in how to execute that stuff is thinner than people realize. And these guys are not playing with instant replay. Those things aren't happening. And Burfict, regardless, is some of the stuff he's done is indefensible. That's not what I'm not defending those actions. But I'm saying I believe his mentality and style have been rewarded. It's been reinforced to him over the course of much of his professional life and life period. And that does have an effect.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Asking if any of you feel for Vontaze Burfict at all at 855-212-4227. You know, again, part of me doesn't, because what he's done has gone above and beyond and deserves some sort of repercussion or discipline, even if I don't even think the last hit was the worst, but when you have a history, it can make the last incident look worse. But there is a part of me that does, because I think his mentality, the way he plays, has been rewarded for most of his life. And football, the activity itself, is a difficult thing to do. And, you know, is a violent by nature sport. And the line between dirty and clean is very fine. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Greg in Dallas. Greg, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, I do feel for him. It's kind of like that pit bull that you have that, you know, is bred for aggressiveness, and then you're surprised when they maul a kid. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just what he's been rewarded with. I mean, I have a son that plays high school football, and it is a violent game. And there have been times when he's, you know, hit somebody really hard, and I've asked him about it after the game, and he's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm just playing the game and trying to survive.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're rewarding Vontaze for acting a certain way, and then we're surprised when he acts that way. I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm with you in a sense. It's also, you know, a tough thing to do, like where we see guys in the moment. I think somebody brought up Ndamukong Suh earlier. And I think that's probably a pretty good example, because Ndamukong Suh has done some stuff on the field that's like out of line, right? But if you see Ndamukong Suh off the field or hear him talk, there's nothing that would give you that impression. So, you know, again, that switch for some guys is got to be hard. It's not exactly just like so cut and dry. And then a lot of the other hits, I think, that don't have to do with Burfict, I think are overanalyzed because people have the benefit of replay and they don't realize what it takes to actually bring some of these guys down. Justin in Fort Worth, Texas. Justin, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, I don't feel for Vontaze Burfict, and I think that, like, as far as that part of the conversation goes, his body of work kind of speaks for itself. You know, he's had the fines, he's had the warning. You can say he's been rewarded, but he's also been punished at the same time.
But he's been punished, but he keeps getting a job, right? And keeps getting a paycheck and keeps getting a coach telling him he likes what he's doing.
He does, and I think that's where the league's doing the right thing by taking a stance. But where the line definitely gets blurred is even the latest game NFL played, Thursday Night Football, Clay Matthews had a hit that didn't look bad in regular time, and then in slow motion it looked even less bad, and it was still I'm not going to say it was a game-changing penalty, but it was a free first down in a critical part of the game that could have possibly changed the outcome.
Yeah, it is a tough thing. I mean, when you're talking about the NFL enforcing it, I keep going back to Bountygate. The NFL punished that as well, right? They punished that, and as they should have. But Greg Williams is still in the league. You know? Richie Incognito was a teammate of Perfect. He's still in the league. And he has a history of violent behavior off the field. You know, a lot of times, I don't even think it's so much the behavior that bothers the league, but the coverage of it, right? Like, Antonio Brown got lots of coverage, so that was enough, too much for the Patriots and for the league. Well, the league hasn't done anything in that case yet, but they would have, I think. And that's more was along the lines of, like, them being bothered by the stuff that comes along with it than the stuff itself. How about Jack in Georgia? Jack, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing, Robert? I appreciate your sympathy for that dude, but he won't stop until he gets somebody hurt. You ever heard of Daryl Stingley?
Yeah.
And that was going to happen because I understand you say the other players, he'd be awarded for his mentality. He has to evolve. The rules are different now. And we hit that guy Sunday. I didn't see the game, but I saw the highlights. The dude was on the ground anyway. All he was touching, he's down already by contact. He's just a vicious player that don't want to evolve to the new rule. And he won't stop until he gets somebody hurt. And the family of that player is going to sue the NFL. They did the right thing. Suspended for a whole year. If you come back, ban him from life. It's not worth the headache.
Oh, I don't necessarily disagree with that. That's also what I'm saying is I'm able to not disagree with that or the punishment, but see the sort of intricacies in between. You know, there's this, like, oftentimes I think we go to one of two conclusions, like they overreacted by the suspension or they got it exactly right by the suspension. I'm not arguing with the suspension. I wouldn't even be arguing again with the banishment. I wouldn't be arguing with that. I wouldn't say that's out of line. He has proven that would have been a reasonable reaction to what he did when taken in conjunction with everything else he's done. But I am aware of how he may have gotten to that point where he's doing that stuff. And that's what I'm talking about. How he got to that point and how fine the line is between the stuff he does and what we would consider a good hard tackle. And it's not as far, I don't think, as people make it out to be. Andy in Raleigh, North Carolina. Andy, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I hear what you're saying about this situation, but this is obviously a taught and learned and coached behavior from way back. And the man has had multiple incidents, and there are other players as well. But at some point, you have to draw a line and say enough is enough. You know, you've got to be be the victim of your own consequences. And you know, right now, it looks like nothing can be done about the coaches that are the paid bounty hunters and the other players that are in the league.
Well, something can be done. They could not have a job. If we're being real about it, if Bounty Gate was what we understand Bounty Gate to be, why is Greg Williams ever employed again?
Well, right. And he should be out of the league. I understand that, but he's not. And whose fault is that? Is that Goodell? Probably.
Well, I can't
and part of the
Yeah, well, I'm not putting that on. Like, look, Goodell deserves a lot of the criticism he gets, but he can't be faulted for everything. That's the organization that hires him. But to the point, Andy, and I'm not talking to you specifically because you're not saying anything wrong. I'm not, you know, don't take this as criticism of you. But, you know, when that is a leadership position, when someone like Greg Williams, who's in charge of stewarding a defense, has done this before, and you have a guy like Burfict, who's not playing for him, obviously, but it gives you the mindset of some of the coaches, right? Or at least one of the coaches. And that's what's being communicated to the players. Can we not see where Vontaze Burfict's mentality comes from?
Oh, sure. No argument there with that. It's fair. But nobody is willing to step up, it seems like, and take the responsibility for saying, okay, you're out of a job, whether it's a coach, player, whomever it might be. And there's too much blame to go all the way around, which is sad.
I mean, Greg Williams was a head coach for a portion of last year, right? He was the coach of the Browns who became the media darlings of the NFL. And I don't have any axe to grind with him either. I don't know the guy. I'm just saying he literally was the Bountygate guy. He was. And what was Bountygate? Bountygate was, here's money for taking this guy out. That's what Bountygate was. Now, I understand the intent behind it may not, they could spin it as not so cut and dry. They could say, like, when they say take somebody out, they're more meaning like just like hard hits that make them think twice about coming across the middle. But you know, it's being communicated. It is what it is. It is what it is. And if those payments were received, you were literally talking about someone's livelihood and health and well-being being monetized for putting it in jeopardy. Mitch in East Windsor, New Jersey. Mitch, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Robin, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's a long time coming. This guy's a dirty player. I don't want to see him in the NFL. It's a tough enough sport. Is that a banishment, right? It's just for the rest of the year, so maybe some other clown will take a flyer on him, because multiple guys have gotten plenty of chances and have done worse things. But, I mean, who's the next guy that the Raiders are going to sign? You know, Brown, Buffet, whatever his name is. I mean, the Raiders, he changed the team. He got rid of the good players and brought in these bad characters. So, I mean, who's next?
Yeah, I mean, again, like, look at the Raiders locker room. They had Richie Incognito, Vontaze Burfict, and Antonio Brown in it at one time. So,
well, Incognito, he's probably going to blow up soon, you know, as we speak. You never know what's going to happen.
So
I don't know how he's got a job.
Well, what my point is, if you have three of those guys in one locker room, look around the NFL. There's going to be other guys like, and again, I don't paint with any broad brushstrokes. I do not do that because I've been around too many guys who've played in the NFL, talked to too many guys who've played in the NFL, done radio shows, you know, with people who have played in the NFL. You get the point. And most are totally well-adjusted human beings, right? But if you're playing a sport like that, you either have to be able to go from well-adjusted human being to savage competitor with aware of your surroundings, or you're getting into some other mind state, or you're always in that mind state. I don't know. And there's going to be guys who have a difficulty, you know, going to well-adjusted human being, or can't bring well-adjusted human being to the field. It's going to happen. It's the nature of the sport. And when you have coaches saying, go, 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 crush, finish, finish, finish the play. Bring him down. Hit him. Take him down. Come on. Till the whistle blows. You're going to get some of that. So, again, I'm not arguing with the suspension. I wouldn't even be arguing with banishment. But I do see how Vontaze Burfict happens, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I see how he happens, how someone can become what he is on the field and think it's okay because, you know, obviously he didn't think he did anything wrong in the moment. He's blowing kisses, right? Because he's got people patting him on the back when he takes guys out sometimes. And coaches telling him, that's what I want to see. That's how we play football. I promise you that's happened. Mike in Cincinnati. Mike, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks. Yeah, I just want to chime in on the Vontaze Perfect. I'm a Bengals fan, have been for years, and he was rewarded for his violent behavior. And that's the kind of the messed up state of the league right now. He's still in the league because he's obviously a violent player. But then Colin Kaepernick, who stands against violence, and all he did was kneel down to support his cause, he's out of the league for good. Nobody will hire him. So what does that say about the state of the league?
Well, I mean, what it says to me, Mike, and I said it before, is there's always, it seems much more a concern about the coverage of a behavior than the actual behavior. You know, right? The Antonio Brown thing was fine until nobody would stop talking about it. And then apparently it wasn't fine anymore. That's when the breaking point happened. Kaepernick's a whole different situation in and of itself. I'm not opening that can of worms today. Obviously, I think what happened to him is wrong. And he shouldn't have been essentially banished from the league. But why did it happen? I think in large part, either the owners agreed with the people who were angry about it, or they were scared of the people who were angry about it and the coverage that it was getting. So that's part of it. And that's why I say that. I think oftentimes, you know, the NFL is more reactionary to the coverage of something than to the something of something. I'll get to my NFL picks of the week coming up next. I had a really rough start to the season, rebounded last week, or 2 weeks ago. I think I was under 500 again last week. I have to check the scoreboard. I don't think it was embarrassing, though. So I got to rebound eventually and get, as long as I'm hovering around 500 by the end of the year, I'll be happy with my progress. I was over 500 over the course of last year. So that was something to mildly celebrate. I don't expect to necessarily reach those goals or that high plateau again, but I do want to dig myself out of the early season hole I had set up. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's RobinLundberg. If you want to continue to weigh in on Vontaze Burfict, you can do that as well. It is the Robin Lundberg Show, and it is here on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.